Hey, this is Avra interviewing Reggie on September 1st, 1980. Okay, we're on.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, into the tape.
I hereby get to the Buffalo Woman's Oral History Project, the tapes recorded on, which is
September 21st,
1980, for such educational scholarly uses and purposes, as the directors Elizabeth Kennedy, Madeline Davis, Narva Michelson shall determine. I further consent to the transcription and publication of any or all of this interview as educational and scholarly work required. I have been assured that only my first name,
Reggie,
will be employed in any use of these tapes. I understand that at some future date, the tapes will be housed in an archive chosen by the directors of the Buffalo Woman's Oral History Project and will be available for public access, governed by the rules of the archive. I give consent that these tapes be made available for research purposes as many years after the date of the last interview.
How many years? You decide.
As many years as you need.
Well, what that really means is, like, would you like other researchers to have access to them tomorrow or 5 years from now or 10 years from now or 50 years from now? That's what that means. Like, of when other people will be able to listen to them, other researchers.
Anything.
So, say, 1 year from now?
Is, you know, as you see fit.
Well, we want to leave that up to you so that... because we feel like it's your choice, that this is your memories, and that you should have the power and control over when others get to hear them. So that's what that clause, that sentence is in. So it's what you feel comfortable with.
Well, I'm giving you my consent.
Okay.
So
you're saying, we could say then 1 year
to your benefit, or whenever you need to use them, or, you know.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Okay, could we start with maybe just hearing a little bit about how you came out and when that was?
About six.
Six, really?
I mean, you know, when I got to know or feel that there was something. And I used to cry a lot because I was bothered. You're a kid. You're wondering why little girl next door looks beautiful to you, not only as an individual, as, you know, sexual. And you play house. But you always either want to be the doctor. It's just, you know, little kid stuff. Mm-hmm. But when I recognized it, it was around 6 years old. Huh. And I idolized my brother, naturally, my both brothers. And I used to watch him get dressed. Not them knowing, you know, I mean, our house wasn't all that open. But I used to watch my brother shave. And I'd go like this, you know. And. But yet I'm different there's been times I haven't been recognized in gay clubs because I look too feminine to them. Hmm. Or I look to, say, there's some detection, whereas when I'm around straight people that I know, they know I'm a little different. Hmm. So it's been offset both ways. Hmm. Now getting back.
What year was this? How old are you now?
Well, I'm 52 now.
So, when you were six, that was...
It'd be about 30-something, wouldn't it? I was born in 1928.
Okay, so that's 1934 then.
Right.
When was it that you first talked to someone about
it? I didn't for years. Mm. It wasn't as open as it is today. You don't have the books. Your family, you grew up different. Even sex was hushed as far as my home. And of course, my mother died when I was four. Mm-hmm. And I really never had a chance to get to know her. But I had a sister that helped bring me up. My dad was a very hard working man. And but we didn't have this, you know. And even after I got in gay life, I was like a private person, and I just don't go around to everybody and say, well, you know, my problems, even when I went to the club.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of fought my own problems out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if I have any problem today, I don't run to somebody. I figure it out myself. Because I think this is where I was toned to do, you know, in the past. And when you hear what I feel, you know, it has changed an awful lot in comparison. Because the girls and the guys did get along. Now I don't know whether to blame it on there's so many bisexual out or what. But and the butches were very butchy, okay? But they were gentle. They were a gentle group. And I was only 15 when I met a lot of these real machos. But they were gentle. And of course, I had hair down on my rear end, you know, when I really went to my first club. And they accepted me. There was nothing where, hey, listen, you got long hair, you don't belong in that place. Something like this, you know. They just had respect for me and I did for them. And
Before we go into when you first met other lesbians, could we talk a little about
your family? How many brothers and sisters? Well, I got a sister and I got two brothers.
And your sister pretty much raised you?
Well, kind of. You know, it's like, I got to watch this kid, but I got a hot date.
Oh.
Don't tell Dad or you're going to get him. You know, one of those things.
Did you grow up in Buffalo?
Yes, I did.
And what kind of, what neighborhood?
I lived down Woodlawn. In fact, I was born on 649 Woodlawn Avenue, which is between Fillmore and Humboldt Park.
Was that an ethnic neighborhood then?
It was a beautiful neighborhood. And of course, well, up toward Ferry were your Italians, then up farther up there were your Jewish people. Our neighborhood consisted of your Irish, your German.
Were you from a religious family?
Not overly, no. Not at all. I like going to church. Not mainly because I stayed at friends' house, and then we'd leave from their house to go to church. But I did like church. And of course, as time went by, I feel that I don't have to go there to thank God for what I got.
And what about your father? What kind of work did he do?
Well, Dad was a nurse for 17 years at Roswell. Before that, he was a good cook. He could do anything, bake, cook. He was a very strict man. Even when I was, 16 years old, he got to be in at 9 o'clock, you know. And he worked nights, did private duty nursing for quite a few years. Dug ditches to get there. And then he did private duty and then he worked at Roswell. We never had communication, my dad and I. You know, although we were close, fishing, hunting, you know, and I was a baby. So I went every place with my dad. And of course, as you get a little older, you want to do your bit. It's no fun anymore. I don't want to go fishing right now that many times. And or hunting, you know. I was close with my brother. And of course, his brother go. My oldest got married. My sister got married. My younger, who was my favorite, both of them went in the service. So we're all separated. And you're left with your father.
Were you next to the youngest?
I was his.
You were the baby.
Right.
When you said you were left with your father, did that mean that you had responsibilities as an unmarried woman that everyone else was kind of off?
No. No, I wouldn't say that. You know, Dad did his thing, I did my thing. As far as, you know, he was strict as far as the house was concerned and coming in. I didn't have to worry about it as far as taking care of the rent or anything like that.
And were there any other relatives growing up that were important to you?
I was never too close to my oldest brother. Of course, he left, got married. It was just like, there was friction long before I came into the picture, let's say. So, Jack, when he got married, it was just like I'm living my life. Dad, like I said, was a very strict man, and there was hostility between Jack and Vera, my dad. So naturally, as you're younger, you don't see them because the family isn't close. They all went their way.
Mm-hmm. When you were growing up, you say that you felt like you came out when you were six.
Yeah.
But when was there a time that you were able to kind of label these feelings as homosexuality?
Oh, let's see. I went with three straight, not sexually. The one, I think it lasted a couple of weeks. I found out he's looking out. The second, he was an alcoholic who was lying to them. And I liked his company, I liked talking with him. I think this was the majority of that. The other fellow, he was 23 and I was 15. In fact, I still know his family to this day, his sisters. And he was a very kind man. And I used to go roller skating out a lot, and that's what I loved. And he wanted to get engaged. So prior to this, one weekend his brother came home on furlough and we were roller skating. Of course, he's got to leave, you know, and well, I got to make the best of my days that I'm in town. So he mentioned some queer place to me. And of course, I didn't. Inside, I was very excited. I wanted to go, but I couldn't afford to let them know how excited I was.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Jimmy would give me my way, anything I wanted. And I said, let's go to Ralph Martin. It used to be one of the biggest places here.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay. And we went. And of course, all the girls I met for my future were sitting at the table. And there was a majority of straights in there. The majority were gay.
Mm-hmm.
And this one gay boy finally floated by. And it's not because I felt at that time, I still really didn't realize. But I found out that there was others like me,
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't alone anymore, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I still didn't understand myself,
mm-hmm.
or on the whole, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we're sitting there, and his brother makes a crack and says, that's no good, queer, look at him. And I got red, and I got mad, and I said, you're in their territory, don't say no. Why'd you come back?
Mm-hmm.
So he turns again, and he says, what, are you going to get married to a queer lover? So when they wanted to leave, I wouldn't leave with his brother. I wouldn't get in the car. Jimmy worked for Taylor company. Of course, he always had to go in the girl's Taylor. Of course, I didn't have a license, I didn't have a permit, you know, big town. 15, right?
Uh-huh.
So Jimmy left me a fee. And so give me the money, and of course, I needed a couple of dollars. I wasn't working, I was only 15.
Mm-hmm.
And they left. She said, remember, I stayed there in the trunk. I said, okay. So it's a little same girl. I thought she kind of like you. And her sister Ruby is very nice. So her Georgie, by the reason, Scott, the whole group were there. Much older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that one was in his 20s herself. And she went circle with her finger, you know, one dance. Now, I've never danced. Never. Not even a friend. I danced with, let's say, but I didn't follow them.
Mm-hmm.
So I got up and it was just like a natural thing. I grabbed her, I laughed, and she sang me too. And she said, you're good, I said, oh yeah, I'm happy. And I meant it, yeah, she's fierce. You know, she thought I was pulling her head. And of course, you're always going to try to act older, get where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no. She said, I knew you were. What, when you walk in the door, I said, you got long hair, or what? And I thought, well, I'm going to wait till you're married. I don't think you're gay, got long hair, I know you're gay. I said, oh no, I'm going, oh God. Well, we finished our dance, and I joined the group, right? Of course, I never drank. And I was just as cold. That's another big spot with a stick in it. I already had one the way that I was. And, well, I was in the, just that show that I got in the final. I wasn't concentrating on my schooling because I was so enthused and so happy. Yeah, it was like you're in a cocoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they were a different one. They weren't, they didn't have to have tough they put it, they wanted to do when the circumstances arrived. Risen, but they weren't, they were very gentle there. Mm-hmm. And you didn't see so many fist fights where there was jealousy, you know. I mean, this is the way I had seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have to worry that somebody wanted to dance with your girl, you know. It was that the girl themselves had their own individuality. They didn't have to come up and say, you mind if I go into the stop.
Mm-hmm.
It was there.
Mm-hmm.
The trust was there. Because, of course, I never cared to go study that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that if we got together, we had a good time. If we saw each other again, fine. Evelyn, I think, is the first one that I went with. And, of course, I saw her with a couple of sailors, okay? And she was bringing herself down in my eyes, as young as I was, you know. And it hurt, but I didn't make a move. And I just looked at her and I said, well, there's an awful lot of space for going into it. And I just looked at her and he's grabbing her and, you know, she's letting them feel her. Yeah, for me, that did it.
Mm-hmm.
It was not
hmm.
It was no big deal. I mean, it did hurt, but there was nothing where I'm going to go over in front of people and snatch it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a million questions about this. Was it you? I don't think I was listening carefully enough. Was it you who suggested to your boyfriend that you go to Ralph Martin?
No, it was his brother.
His brother suggested that. Have you ever heard of this of Ralph
never.
Martin or bars for gay
never.
People? You never had. And so
we
then.
Never talked to anyone.
Uh-huh.
We never. At school, I didn't. If there were gay people there, we didn't know it.
So then, when was it that you realized it was a gay bar? Did he say this is a queer bar? Or
oh,
you could
tell.
Oh.
It was lovely.
And how could you tell?
How?
Mm-hmm. Were people affectionate with one another and embrace them?
No, you could tell by their dress. You could tell boys when they walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how were people dressed?
Well, the butchers were very butchy. Very. Tie shirt, some of them.
Men's clothes?
I see. Oh, well, little Ruby, strictly, even her underpants. I mean, Jackie shirt, little Ruby, that was that one too.
So they were wearing men's clothes?
Yeah.
And ties and men's shirts.
Right.
And what were the sons wearing?
Oh, dress.
And when you were there, you were wearing a dress?
No, I had to wear a white long sleeve blouse, like black over, like that.
Was that unusual for you to be out on a date with a guy you're in pants?
No.
So women were
usually, well, it wasn't, you know, but say someplace kids or like roller skating or this man. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this was when you were about 15, so
it was
1942.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that these women that you met, although they were butch, were very gentle. Were there other butches who weren't so gentle who were in Ralph Martin? Or were you just trying to explain that even though a woman was butch, that didn't mean she was...
I think I'm not yet.
So, rough.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So that's helpful to try and break the stereotype.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about these women that you met were quite a bit older than you? What were your relationships with them? Did they help you out recognizing that you were kind of a new woman coming out?
Or? Okay, at first time. Mm-hmm.
No?
No, she didn't help. You know, she just, I think that one knew.
What about the other ones?
Nothing was ever said.
Nothing was ever said.
Because by then I acted like I knew everything, but I didn't.
Ah, so would it have been inappropriate to present yourself as a novice? Would that have made you uncomfortable? Or you wouldn't have fit in?
No, I don't think so. They knew what my... In other words, we were wearing the same pair of shoes. They knew it.
And
they had respect for this,
uh-huh.
even though they knew my age, and of course I wasn't as dressed as they were. Mm-hmm. I would look very feminine in comparison to the way the crowd I hung with.
Did you change your dress after that?
No, I didn't, because I think it's the way I feel now, or the way I felt then. Not exactly then, but I have family, you have your schooling.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, I have my job, you know. And I don't feel that you have to burn kids.
Uh-huh.
And I have found that the nicer women wouldn't want the real butch type either.
Uh-huh.
Not because you're ashamed, but again, they have a special job
uh-huh.
in society.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we can't expect every straight one to recognize us or to like us and to accept us.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we can't accept their ways of life either. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel about it.
So how...
But mainly I get the shit kicked out of me by my father, which I did.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
When you went home?
Well, it got so... I don't know, my grandfather had told him. Anyway, he followed me to the club.
How much time has passed?
A matter of a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And he followed me, and he kicked me, kicked and punched at my family all off Main Street on the way home. He said, no daughter of mine is going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd never argued with me. You know, like I said, he was very strict. He'd hit first, ask question later. You were lucky if he asked a question later. But then this went on, and, you know, it was a huge place, like a big back room. The bar had another door on Seneca Street. And if he came in one door, they'd warn me, and I'd either run into John or go outside.
Oh, so this went on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so people got to know who your father was.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That he got caught in the rain.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
No.
How did that
happen? I don't know if he was looking for me, but he got caught in the
road. If he wasn't looking for you, what else would he have been doing then?
I don't know, but it was an awful thing to learn later on after all that happened to me, to turn around and see the father kissing the guy.
Oh.
It wasn't because I was jealous. It wasn't because of anything personal. It was the idea the way he treated me, and he had put me in a home for 3 years because of it.
Mm.
And he had, like when I did start to work, my paycheck was home. If I got a couple dollars, fine. This guy could walk in, and I knew he was a BSer. I knew that. I knew the man never worked.
Mm-hmm.
He was lying to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw this happen, after it came out of the home, that I'm being punished for, and my dad's eyesight, and then I get up in the morning and he's kissing my father goodbye. But I don't feel, like he always said, there was only one woman in my dad's life. I had seen him go with three women who were beautiful women. In fact, I always wanted him to get married. And of course, he always used to tell me that there was no one like your mother. And I know for many years he was a lonely man.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went, you know, steady with it. 3 women out of that. But then this incident happened with this guy.
Now, I want to hear a little bit more about this. What, when you first went to this bar, did you then stop seeing your boyfriend or you continued to see him?
Well, it was, say, about a month after that. It was nearing Christmas. And I knew he got me a ring.
Mm-hmm.
His family were all real close, really. All about six brothers and seven sisters. An old Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And
what ethnic group were you from? Were you from?
I'm French and Irish.
French and Irish, right. Mm-hmm.
And, but anyway, after I started going to the club, I had to tell him. So he fell asleep on the couch. I was supposed to see him at about 9 o'clock that night because I'm down the draft there in the ball. So I come by his house, it was about midnight, he's laying there with his ring in his hand. And I wrote them off, and Jimmy, I didn't accept it. Kept saying, why? He cried, and I cried, and see him cry. And I said, I just can't. And I just, it's not fair, I'm too young. That's the only way I can put it to him. I said, I'm very young, and I have so much to learn and so much to do. We remained friends, even before when he was leaving. He was getting transferred to a new job. They wanted to take me along. Of course, my dad said, no way. But I'd say if I really wanted to do it, I would have done it, whether my dad wanted me to or not. But he went away, and that was it. And I see his sister, one of his oldest sisters, Angie, now. And, you know, as well as though she's a bitch, the one he's married to, and he always cares for you, and always talks about you, reminisces, because we did have the whole bit, you know, was a very good, fun time.
And then how much time passed between when your father beat up on you, when he discovered you were hanging out at Ralph Martin's, until he put you in a home?
Well, I never really let him catch me after that. I think one of my very first loves was a girl, and she was about 2 years older. No, Betty was about the same age. And I was just sorry that I couldn't help her because I was so young. But she was an alcoholic on and off. She didn't want to admit it, but she was. And she was a beautiful little blonde. She loved dancing. And she got in some of these clubs, dancing, which were dog clubs.
What did that mean?
She was a stripper. She loved show business. She was very good in her profession. And I could understand this, but I couldn't see her dancing in these type of places around Buffalo, because they were dog places. There were other nice clubs she could have got in, because she had finesse. If she had the right person to guide her. And I left my dad, and we got together, a little apartment on Genesee Street, and I worked nights then. I got a job at Ryan's, which was a big place.
Oh,
is
that Eddie Ryan's name?
Yeah,
hotel?
Right.
What were you doing there?
I was, I'd fill in as a waitress and combination of apartments. So, like I say, she used to drink a lot, and she'd call me, and I'd do my job, go down the ramp, get her, and she wouldn't know me, because I didn't just stop. And she'd sit with some guys, you know. I guess there was an awful lot of Army sailors, Marines, and so on.
They were straight.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they had straight people. They started trouble, Ralph would throw them out, but. And, you know, she'd get me off the job. I'd run down there to help her. She'd cry. And she'd come and get me. By the time I go to get her, she wouldn't know me. And I'd try to get her away from the guys. I'd say, this is my sister. She's going home. Sometimes I would be defiant with her. You know, I'd, you know, take her hand and say, I don't know you. I said, come on. And then the guys would be grabbing her. And it was like a tug of war. Then the last time I saw her was in Cleveland. She called me again at the club. And she heard herself screaming. And she was staying in town. She was supposed to be living with a couple. And she said, I'll get the hotel room and I want to see you. I said, okay. Then I got to talk to you. And she sounded so ill that she really wanted to make a go of it. In one respect, then she changed. So I went down there. We enjoyed one another until Sunday, and to see a girl walk out of a bar and get in a cab with an old beater. I mean, you know, really, if he was an older man and he was decent looking or something like this, you know, but this guy was a bum. And I said goodbye to her, and I wished her luck, and I heard she got killed in the castle. So it's all I'd say I cared for an awful lot. As young as I was, I knew the difference between infatuation and love. I never threw the word love around, unless I really meant it. It's just, now you hear, because I want to go to bed with you, I want company. God, I love you. In fact, I was so shocked when I was sitting at the bar one night, they had this young girl come up and say, you want to go home and right out. I looked at her, I said, who are you talking to? She says, well, you. Who else? I said, you're not talking to me. And I said, you better sit down at the other end of the bar until you can approach better than me. Just think it over. But see, this is a different generation. I was embarrassed. Like, she took me off.
Well, to kind of wind up things about your family, was there any incident that precipitated your father putting you in a home? Or how did that all happen? And where did he...
Listen, this